Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and according to this piece of paper I wrote, we're going to start in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I'm going to stop right there. Now, we are Gentiles. We are not those who have been born out of Abraham. Unless somewhere way back in my family's history that I know absolutely nothing about, somebody married somebody Jewish. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm a Gentile. Anyhow, this letter and this part of this epistle is talking to Gentiles. That's us. The letter was addressed by Paul to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's the group I want to belong to. That's the group, by his grace, I believe I do belong to. The faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not that I believe that I am that faithful that I belong. It's that he is faithful. It's not because of my faithfulness I belong, and I believe, and this is a weird thing for me to say still, that I am a saint of God because of his faithfulness, because of his work, not mine, but I am a saint. And you look that word up in Strong's Concordance there, it says holy.
Yeah.
And that makes it even weirder for me to say, but it's still true. In him I am faithful. In him I am holy. In him I am a saint, and so are you.
Amen. That's right.
If you're in him.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm faithful, the reason I'm a saint, is because Jesus Christ promised never, never to leave us or forsake us. Believers are kept by the power of God through faith, and that not of themselves. That is why we, pitiful, powerless, and easily distracted men and women, can be called faithful. He has given us the faith of Jesus Christ by grace. And because it's his faith, we're faithful.
Yeah.
anything I do that's of any value, it's because he gave both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not on me.
That's right.
It's not from me, even though I might be in the vicinity. Because even though I am called a saint, I know I'm nothing but an unprofitable servant. Now, believers know that in them, that is, in their flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, when I got to thinking about this, I remember Earl, I think we were in the basement. Mab Scott, first time he told me this, we were having one of the dinners down there. And he told me of a preacher who had told him with a straight face, and I'm sure some of you have heard this, that in order to love God, you've got to love yourself a little bit. And I looked at Earl like, you know. And he liked to do that to me. He did. Because it's one of them things where you just don't realize that somebody who is supposed to be a gospel preacher, supposed to be a preacher of grace, could say something like that. And the reason it's supposed to be, the reason I said supposed to be is because if you say something like that, I got doubts. Because there might be something else wrong somewhere. Because I told Earl then, and I'll tell you now, that's a lie. I also told him that the only part of me that I love is what Christ has done for me. Because one of the first things that the Holy Spirit teaches a regenerate person is how worthless you are.
Yeah, that's right.
And how unworthy you are.
Yeah.
And how just plain nasty you are. I am unworthy of love. I am unworthy of faith. I am unworthy of grace. Because I'm a horrible person. And I said that in the present tense for a reason. Because it's still true. Now that's part of the law work. Part of the bringing in the spirit of bondage to fear. Which then leads to the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
So, but I, you know, I love God because he first loved me.
Yeah.
And I don't love God very well. I wish I loved him better. I love Christ, but I don't love him very well some days. But he first loved me. And when it first came time to learn of him, I didn't even like me. When I first came to know him, I didn't even like me at all. Now that changes. I get a little more happy with myself sometimes. But it's mainly because I'm happy in him. Because it's easier to be happier with myself when I'm not looking at me. And I'm looking at him, it's easier to be happy with me. I start looking at me, that's when trouble comes up. That's when depression starts in, and that's when you start getting really down. So I try not to look at me, and I feel better about it. I don't know what psychiatry would make of that, and I don't really care. Because self-examination is not all it's cracked up to be. Not if you know yourself. A little bit even. It's not. Anyhow, that's who this letter was written to. Gentiles who have been given life and given faith and given the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
This letter was written to men. And it was written to us. If you know Christ.
Yeah.
We're back to that them and us stuff again. It's all there. If you were predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, these words are for you. If not, well, some of these words are for you. Paul starts this section off. This is the beginning of a paragraph, according to my Bible program. Do not walk as other Gentiles walk. You're Gentiles, but don't walk like other Gentiles. Now, in this case, other Gentiles are those who are not saints at Ephesus. Other Gentiles are those who are not faithful in Christ Jesus. But Paul says, we've got to walk. And we do.
Yeah.
Now, we talk about grace a lot. And that's because we like to talk about grace a lot. We speak of free grace without works, which is true. However, there is a walk.
Yeah,
Paul's talking about it. The New Testament's full of it. The Old Testament's full of it. There is a walk. There are good works.
Sure. Yeah. Amen. Sure.
Believers are saved by grace through faith unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's a walk. And I'm still working on these glasses, folks, so I'm doing better. At least I don't have a headache, so you know, that's better. Part of this walk is how we live in this world. Now, we are given many instructions in the New Testament because there are things we are to do. One of them that I think about almost every day in some way, shape, or form. Now, mainly that's because of where I work. It's recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I'm still working on this one. Because where I am at, there's a lot of deception goes on. I'm surrounded by it. But I try to provide things honest. I want to be honest. But in this line of work, it can cause you trouble. Because it's hard to be the only... it's not true, because I'm not the only honest person there. There's a couple that I can semi-trust. But it hits you in the face. This is how other Gentiles walk. They walk in a lie. And they'll walk boldly in a lie. They will walk proudly in a lie. And they get really mad when you call them a liar. Which I have had a tendency to do occasionally. But there's more instructions. And I just wrote some of these things down just because I like them. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now Titus was plumb full of it. There's five or six here from Titus. It says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine... Doctrine's a good work? Yeah. Showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you, unless they make something up. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. who gave himself for us, speaking of Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In Titus 3:8 it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But other Gentiles walk other ways. And I was reading this, and this is the part that got me, where it says, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Starting off with a negative again. Don't walk like other Gentiles.
Yeah.
In the vanity of their mind.
Yeah.
So I hit my little buttons there on my computer. If my computer breaks, I do actually have a concordance, Strong's Concordance, where I can look this stuff up. But it's quicker to do it without it. And I'm good at that sort of stuff. The word we hear nowadays, vanity, has to do with people being vain.
Yeah.
Okay? And usually you'll hear it in concern with people's looks. They're vain about their looks. That's what they're consumed with. I mean, that's why there is a plastic surgery industry in this country, like nobody's business. Between nose jobs and whatever other body parts that get enlarged or made smaller, and liposuction, there is millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, spent just on plastic surgery out of vanity about looks. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about, it says, the vanity of their mind. And we're surrounded by this because I looked up the word vanity. When you look up the word vanity, the first thing that pops up, it says, devoid. That's good right there. But it says devoid of truth.
Yeah, amen.
That's what their minds are. In the vanity of their mind, they are devoid of truth in their mind. It's not that they got a little bit. No, they're devoid. There's nothing there. It's like a black hole as far as the truth of God is concerned. There's nothing there. There's no stars, there's no light, there's nothing but darkness. It is totally without the truth of God. That's what their minds are like. Don't walk like that. That's what Paul said. I don't want to walk like that. And that's the definition of the unregenerate mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their minds are devoid of the truth, even if you've heard the truth. There's nothing there.
That's right.
It's devoid of it. You might have been raised in a grace church. But if you're unregenerate, your mind is devoid of the truth.
Yeah.
Vanity. That's what Paul means by vanity of the mind here. The truth is not in them because faith is not in them. Because this is what Paul wrote somewhere else. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Yeah.
They're devoid of the truth.
Yeah.
The vanity of their mind. Even hearing the truth doesn't help the unregenerate.
Amen. That's right.
It doesn't profit them.
No, it doesn't.
You can say what you want, do what you will.
Yeah.
The gospel has never regenerated anybody. The gospel has never regenerated anyone ever. Christ said, the Father quickens, and I quicken.
Amen.
And that's it.
Yeah.
The Spirit quickens. Whoop, yeah. That's three.
Yeah.
Now that's right. They agree in one. The vanity of their mind. They are devoid of truth. The gospel makes manifest regeneration, life. Because people believe it then. Then the gospel, the word preached, profits us. Don't be like other Gentiles. It doesn't profit them. In the vanity of their mind, devoid of the truth, the gospel is of no profit. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Wait for it. That believeth. The gospel is not the power of God unto salvation to everyone who doesn't believe it. To some it's the savior of life unto life, and to the others it's the savior of death unto death. And that's the facts. Some people don't believe that. I don't know. They might be devoid of truth. God's truth. The word preached does not profit those whom have not been given faith, because their mind is devoid of truth. It is because of this vanity of the mind that the unregenerate do walk the way they do. Because they've got no idea what the truth of God is. Because the truth of God is in Christ Jesus. And Paul continued, having the understanding darkened. I mean, it's bad enough you don't understand, but the understanding you got is dark. This world is full of religious people. I mean, it's plumb full of religious people. You can't hardly turn a television channel on Sunday morning unless you watch sports. Now, I'm telling you to do that either, but that's about the only channels that are on that in a movie channel that doesn't have some preacher on it somewhere Sunday morning. Other times it's on 24 hours a day on other channels. This is a religious world. But if they don't know the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ, their understanding's darkened.
Amen.
And it shows. It shows, because they will say some incredibly stupid things on that television. If you listen long enough. And I can't listen long enough anymore. But I still remember some of the things I've heard over the years. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was Kenneth Copeland's wife. I don't know what she was doing on the TV. I really don't. I don't know what I was doing watching it. But I tell you what, I heard a good one. Because she came out and she said, wow, the day of Pentecost, what a wonderful thing. Logic is weak, you have to shout. The day of Pentecost was a wonderful thing. There were 5,000 people walking around full of the Holy Spirit. Boy, you think that old devil had it bad with Jesus? He was just a man filled with the Holy Spirit. That's pretty much when I quit listening. Well, she did continue on. I did hear that. Now, devil had to contend with 5,000 men filled with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, he had a bad day. No, the devil done been kicked in the head. Christ did that when he was on the cross.
Yeah.
He bruised his heel. Christ bruised his head.
Yeah.
Talk about having your understanding darkened. Jesus Christ was just a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was and is God, manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
He still is.
Yeah.
But 5,000 red worms filled with the Holy Spirit don't come close to Jesus Christ. They're his brethren. He loves them. He chose them. He gave them life. He gave them the Spirit. But that don't make them equals.
That's
people are crazy. Devoid of the truth in their mind. And it shows. It shows. Anyhow, I'm going to have to quit. But these other Gentiles have their understanding darkened. And guess what? They don't even understand that their understanding's darkened. That's pretty bad. What's that beam in your eye? When your light's darkness, how great's that darkness? It's pretty bad. It's devoid of the truth in your mind. They are alienated from the life of God, Paul said. Through the ignorance in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They don't understand because they can't understand.
Yeah.
And they can't understand because they don't understand. And they will not come that they might have life. No, they won't. They will not. Because it takes God to make somebody willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of, same word, thy power.
Yeah.
Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, because they're blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they're both in the ditch.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of blind trying to lead blind around. And there's a lot of blind listening to the blind. And that ditch has got to be awfully full by now. But there's still more going in it every day. They see, but they don't perceive. They hear, but they don't understand. They don't comprehend. They believe, but they don't believe Christ. They don't believe the Christ of the Bible. They believe their own Christ, who is just a man filled with the Holy Ghost. I kept waiting for somebody to stop her. Because I'm thinking, man, this is like, I mean, it's right up there with Oral Roberts selling the exact image. This likeness. This is the exact likeness of the 900-foot tall Jesus I saw crossing the road. Okay. I'm sorry, even if I saw a 900-foot tall Jesus crossing the road, I don't know that I would tell anybody about it. And not on national television. I'm sorry. I don't think he did. Or if he did, it was a hallucination. Maybe he did. I don't know. There's a lot of venomous insects and stuff in Oklahoma. I was there once. I mean, maybe he got stung by a scorpion and he started seeing things. But then he starts selling it on TV. Well, actually, he said, if you give us a love gift, we'll give you this statue. And it's the exact likeness. And he said that 6 or 8 times. This is the exact likeness.
But it wasn't 900 feet tall.
It wasn't 900 feet tall. But it's the exact likeness. But what comes in my head is the fact is, thou shalt make no likeness.
Yeah.
I think that's a commandment or something. And he kept using those words. And every time he said it, I thought, no, thou shalt not. Even if you did see one, you're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to make statues of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. They will. They have. There's a huge one over Buenos Aires somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
They put another one. I saw another one. I thought it was Buenos Aires. No, it's somewhere else. They had one too. It's contagious.
Yeah.
It is. They're devoid of the truth of God in their mind. Don't walk that way. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this place and this time. And for our Savior, our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you sent to save his people from their sins. And we are thankful, Lord, that he did save his people. That you are now making known, making manifest the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.